بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
Praise be to Allah, who has revealed to His servant the book shorn of all crookedness. Praise be to Allah, who has revealed to His servant the book shorn of all crookedness. This means that there is nothing in the Quran which, being intrinsically complex and enigmatic, defies understanding. Likewise, there is nothing in the Quran which is repugnant to truth and righteousness, making it difficult for any truth-loving person to believe in it.
قَيِّمًا لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِّن لَّدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا.
An unerringly straight book, meant to warn of a stern punishment from Allah, and to proclaim to those who believe and work righteous deeds, the tiding that there shall be a good reward.
مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا.
Wherein they shall abide forever.
وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا.
And also to warn those who say, Allah has taken to Himself a son. And also to warn those who say, Allah has taken to Himself a son. Those who declare that God had begotten offspring include Christians, Jews, and the polytheists of Arabia.
مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا.
A thing of which they have no knowledge, neither nor did their ancestors. Dreadful is the word that comes out of their mouths. What they utter is merely a lie. A thing of which they have no knowledge, neither nor did their ancestors. That is, when the polytheists declare that someone is either God's son or that God has taken him as his son, such statements are not based on any dependable knowledge of which they might feel sure. People, in fact, are wont to make such arbitrary statements in a fit of exaggerated devotion. Little do they realize how outrageously misleading their doctrine is, nor do they fully recognize what blasphemy they utter and what fabrication they foist upon God.
فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا.
O Muhammad, peace be upon him, if they do not believe in this message, you will perhaps torment yourself to death with grief, sorrowing over them. O Muhammad, peace be upon him, if they do not believe in this message, you will perhaps torment yourself to death with grief, sorrowing over them. This refers to the condition of the Prophet, peace be upon him, at that time. It is evident that he was not grieved primarily because of the persecution to which he and his companions were subjected. What really grieved him and caused him intense suffering was the realization that while he sincerely wished to salvage his people from the doctrinal error and moral corruption in which they were steeped, they, however, showed no readiness to get out of the rut in which they were in. He, therefore, felt convinced that his people would be seized by God's scourge. For while the Prophet, peace be upon him, exerted himself day and night to save his people, they virtually insisted that God's punishment should inflict them. In a hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, portrays this condition in the following words. The analogy of me and the people is this: a person who lit a fire which illuminated the area around him, but this caused moths and other insects which are inclined to fall into fire to fall into it. This person tried to somehow pull them away from the fire, but they overpower him and plunge into the fire. My position is that I seek to restrain you from the fire, but you plunge into it. K. Al-Rikak, Bab al-Intaha, Min al-Masi. The verse apparently states that the Prophet, peace be upon him, is so intensely concerned with the welfare of his people, the Quraysh, that he might lose his life. The verse, however, also contains a message of consolation for the Prophet, peace be upon him, for it also subtly tells him that he is not to blame for the failure of his people to believe and do good. It is beyond anyone's power to turn people into believers. The Prophet, peace be upon him, should, therefore, persevere in his mission, giving good tidings to those who believe and warning those that do not of the evil consequences of disbelieving.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Surely, we have made all that is on the earth an embellishment for it in order to test people as to who of them is better in conduct.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
In the ultimate, we shall reduce all that is on the earth to a barren plain. In the ultimate, we shall reduce all that is on the earth to a barren plain. The earlier verse, verse 6, was addressed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, while these two verses, verses 7 and 8, are addressed to the unbelievers. After saying a word of comfort to the Prophet, peace be upon him, the deniers of the truth are told, albeit without addressing them directly, that the riches and pomp and grandeur of the world which fascinate them are all transient and are meant to test human beings. Many are misled by the opportunity to live in ease and luxury, mistakenly believing that they were created simply to enjoy the pleasures of worldly life. As a result, such people pay no heed to the counsel of sincere well-wishers. They fail to appreciate that the opportunities for enjoyment are in fact simply a means of testing how people behave. The purpose of the test is precisely to distinguish those who immerse themselves in the pleasures of life from those who remain conscious of their duty to serve their Lord and follow the right way. The day this test ends, this life of enjoyment will also be brought to a sudden close, and the earth will become merely a vast stretch of desolation.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription were one of our wondrous signs? Do you think that the people of the cave, in Arabic the word kahf signifies a large cave, whereas the word ghar signifies a relatively narrow and small cave, and the inscription? There is disagreement among scholars concerning the word al-Rakim. Some companions and successors are reported to have expressed the view that it is the name of the place where the event took place, and that it was located between Elia, i.e. the land, i.e. Aqaba, and Palestine. Some of the early commentators on the Quran, however, are of the opinion that Al-Rakim refers to the epitaph which was placed at the cave as a monument to the people of the cave. Maulana Abu al-Kalam Azad has expressed his preference for the former view in his work Tarjuman al-Quran. He considers this to be the same place as Rakim mentioned in the Bible. See Joshua 18:27. Azad also identifies this with the ancient Nabataean city of Petra. He has failed, however, to take into account the fact that Rakim was mentioned in the Bible among the cities inherited by the Benjaminites. According to the book of Joshua, this was located to the west of the River Jordan and the Sea of Lot. Obviously, it would be out of the question for Petra to be located there, for the ruins of Petra were discovered in an area which was separated from the territory under the occupation of the Benjaminites by the territory of Judah and Edomia. It is for this reason that modern archaeologists are strongly disinclined to regard Petra and Al-Rakim as the same place. In our view, Al-Rakim signifies epitaph, or the inscription on the epitaph, rather than the name of any particular place. Were one of our wondrous signs? The unbelievers are being asked whether they consider it impossible to believe that God, who out of his power could bring the earth and the heaven into existence, would be unable to cause a group of people to remain asleep for 300 years and then restore them to their former state, youthful and healthy, as if they had never been subjected to such a long spell of slumber. If the unbelievers were to keep in mind God's power to create such objects as the sun, the moon, and the earth, they would never have considered that act at all difficult for God.
إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا.
When those youths sought refuge in the cave and said, Our Lord, grant us mercy from yourself and provide for us rectitude in our affairs.
فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا.
We lulled them to sleep in that cave for a number of years.
ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا.
And then awakened them so that we might see which of the two parties could best tell the length of their stay.